Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Well, the difference that 24 hours makes, and I think we've opened this show with that statement before in previous seasons, Indiana playing well against Providence, look sharp, look crisp. They got some spark off the bench, all of that. And, of course, Race Thompson was outstanding. None of that happened. It wasn't like just a little bit changed or Indiana regressed just a little bit yesterday in Game 2 at the Maui Invitational in Asheville. None of that was true. In fact, one of the worst Indiana shooting performances I think that probably any of us have ever seen, as Indiana, I felt like, a different team on the floor against Texas. Now, granted, Texas, clearly a better team, clearly a more athletic team, a bigger team, a higher-ranked team. You could classify them a lot of different ways, but I feel like that myself and a lot of you that listen, based on the feedback I hear, and a lot of people that are closer to the IU team than I am, that cover the beat on a daily basis, that are at the games, they thought this Indiana team would be much more ready for an opponent like Texas based on what they've seen in the first two games from Indiana. But there were just some eerie things about the game yesterday. I mean, I hate to be so negative, but really there's nothing that stands out that's a positive note to start with. Yes, Trace Jackson Davis had 17 points, but he wasn't very efficient. He seemed to be pretty easily contained by the interior Texas defense for much of the game. More on him in just a minute, but kind of reminded you of some eerie things that have affected this team for seasons now. Turnovers, lots of them. Possessions that come up empty. Long scoring droughts by this Indiana team. And, of course, the shooting performance yesterday, just dismal. We know that Indiana has struggled with three-point shooting specifically, but shooting in general, if you take a look back at percentages and a number of attempts and number of made shots, it's been something that reoccurringly has happened for this team, and it's one of the things I think people were hopeful would not be a problem or as big a problem this season, and it didn't seem to be in the first two games. But at least yesterday against Texas, some of those old problems that have hurt this program now for multiple years seem to be back in the game yesterday against Texas. So a lot to talk about. And again, you got to do it quickly. You got to, whether you're a coach, a player, even a fan, you got to let this one go pretty quickly because Indiana's right back at it in a consolation play today at 1:30. So these afternoon games continue for Indiana. A championship game from the Maui event at 4 o'clock. So some pretty good college basketball coming up. I think, and I thought the same about yesterday, I think that the Stanford game, based on the little bit I saw them in their opening two games, of course, Stanford is Indiana's opponent today. They battled with North Carolina pretty much down to the wire yesterday. I think that it should be a fairly even match game. But if Indiana plays like they did yesterday and shoots the ball like they did yesterday and gets the contributions from starters and lack of contributions off the bench that they got yesterday, they would probably get beat by most opponents right now that at least come from major conferences in college basketball. So we'll see if Indiana can throw that performance out and if we can get back to some positive things with this team. But definitely concerning marks yesterday. You don't have to go far, whether you're watching it on TV, making up your own opinions, whether you're opening up social media or you have a favorite IU message discussion forum that you follow somewhere on the World Wide Web. You don't have to go far to see some pretty damning criticisms of this team yesterday in the loss to, again, a good Texas team. That is, I think, the thing that should be reminded here. Yes, Indiana shot themselves in the foot. Yes, Indiana did a lot of things that I think some are correctable. We didn't see some in the first two games, some of those negatives. But ultimately, it's a much better Texas team, and I think you'll see them go on to have a terrific season this year. But curious to see how this Indiana team bounces back. And it's just such an odd time in college basketball because, and I'm not making up any excuses for Archie Miller or for anyone here, but normally you've got multiple games in between major conference opponents this early in the season to work on things. And if you have an outing like you did yesterday, you know that your saving grace is you've got a Tennessee Tech or someone like that coming in the next game at home where you can kind of get things back in sync. But in this Maui deal, especially a Maui field where you didn't have the chance to have those warm-up early season games, you go right from one big dog to the next. And it's been a very good field overall. There have been some very good games, and I think today's games, as we finish the play out in Asheville, should be maybe as good as what we've seen. But again, we'll see what Indiana does. Some negatives to discuss, and some of those negatives I know will be points that we'll talk about throughout the program today. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll continue here in just a moment with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news coming up. More on IU. We'll break down the performance and their loss yesterday. We'll also take a look at a few other notes across college basketball and college football. Logan Duncombe was in action last night. There's some good news I'll tell you about there. Also, the college football playoff rankings, they came out yesterday evening in the middle of all the college hoops, and Big Ten Conference with a good showing. Kind of odd to see Indiana in those college football playoff rankings. We'll tell you about Indiana and all the Big Ten teams and a few other notes coming up as well here in this opening segment of the show. Later, we'll be joined by Nick Baumgart. Nick covers high school ball, recruiting. He even focuses on college basketball as well for the BaumHoops.com website, BaumHoops.com. He ranks players. He follows a ton of games. And we're going to talk some high school hoops, some recruiting, and I'm sure that we'll touch on Indiana as well when he joins us in this opening segment. And then later in the program, Jeff Rabjohns is scheduled to join us of Pigs.com. And Jeff will talk through some of the negatives from yesterday, and we'll take a preview at the Stanford game as well. So heavy IU, of course, heavy basketball today. We'll turn our attention tomorrow about 50-50 between basketball and football as Indiana gets ready for another football game without Michael Penix this weekend, of course, another big storyline this week. But again, lots of basketball today. And then don't forget, when we're done here at noon, if you're listening to the show live, you've only got a 30-minute gap until we'll take you to Don Fisher and crew for the Maui Invitational for the Stanford game for pregame show. And again, a shout-out to the legendary Fish because I don't always listen to him. You can't get the radio and the streaming synced up to the television broadcast, which with Bill Walton, it's been just a whole nother story. He's entertaining, he's funny, but damn, he doesn't talk about anything going on with the game. And when you're really into the game and you want to know more about the players in the game and you're trying to figure out things, he's got a great basketball mind, but he just doesn't use it a lot because he's so fascinated on just utterly crazy things, to say the least. So the reason I always catch Fish, though, in the pregame show, because you get to hear from Archie Miller, you get a scouting report from a coach or a radio play-by-play person from the other team, and I always seem to, before tip-off, learn even more about this Indiana team and about what's going on. So I highly recommend you tuning him in today, especially with Bill Walton back on the call as the color commentator in the game. But that's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Just a couple other things, and we're going to talk more IU hoops, obviously, in the show, but Trace Jackson-Davis, 17 points. Okay, that's great, but 4 rebounds. He's the biggest guy on the floor. Indiana's playing a fairly small lineup for the most part, especially without Joey Brunk. He has 4 rebounds, got to have more than that, and committed 5 turnovers as well. So, you know, in the box score, if you're just looking at points, you think, well, Trace was, I guess, a lone bright spot. I hate to rain on the parade there because, really, if you watch the game, you know this. He wasn't. In fact, he seemed to be very easily contained, I thought, especially in the first half by Texas. He was very quiet, and by their defense, he seemed to be easily contained. A couple other things with Trace, and again, we love Trace. We know how talented Trace is. I would make lots of bets he's going to go on to have a tremendous season, as good or better than what he did a year ago. But there's a lot of focus on him from fans and media because we know for Indiana to get where they want to be, he's got to have that type of season, and he should have a better season if he's got NBA aspirations coming up soon. But, you know, in the opening game, he was 5 of 15 shooting against Providence. And, again, he had a pretty good game from a points perspective. But overall, not a good game in that opener at Maui. Then 5 of 17 yesterday. So, again, when he's the biggest guy on the floor with Joey Brunk sidelined, and it'll be interesting to see. I think Brunk went through warm-ups yesterday. They're taking it easy with him, but after the loss, it'll be interesting to see if they try to push Brunk in at least for some minutes in the contest. But, again, Trace Jackson Davis has got to be the leader, the straw that stirs the drink for Indiana. And to be quite honest, even in the win against Providence, he wasn't. And that was masked a lot by Race Thompson and his great performance. And speaking of Race, you'd like to see a little bit of consistency. He doesn't have to come out and have 20 and 15 every game for Indiana. He came very close to that. Had more points than that the first game earlier this week. But you'd like to see him have some reasonable performances and provide a decent stat line. He was basically, again, non-existent in many ways. 4 points, 1 of 5 shooting, 2 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 3 turnovers as well. He did grab some rebounds. Race Thompson had 6 rebounds. He was second to Armon Franklin, of all people, who had 7 rebounds to lead the team in that category yesterday. But again, Race Thompson, after a huge game against Providence, did very, very little yesterday. And then to add soreness to an already bad event, to add some negatives, Al Durham goes down late in the game. Archie Miller gets a technical on the same play. And again, we're only watching on television, but he seemed to be in a great amount of pain. And so you're concerned for him because, again, he's one of the experienced players on the team. And it is unlikely that he plays today. But yesterday, he had 8 points in the first half. He had 4 or 5 free throws in the first half. And really, if you were going to pick a star of the game in many ways, or a star at least in the first half, Al Durham would have been your leading candidate, I think, for that as well. So, and Indiana didn't find much off the bench yesterday whatsoever. So, again, the negatives you could go through even more. They just seemed to pile up on yesterday's games. Looking at college hoops and college football as a whole, I found this interesting, but Andy Witry from Turner, he said through the first week of the men's basketball season, 79.3% of the games have been played. He used the ESPN Daily scoreboard on their website to track everything. Of the 347 active Division I men's basketball teams, all have played an average of 2 games so far, which seems about right if you think about our local teams and, of course, Indiana and other teams in the Big Ten that we have seen play. And he did the same for college football, and through week 13, and I know it's not week 13 for the Big Ten, but week 13 overall from when college football began in the fall until now with different starts for different conferences, he has college football at an 81.6% games played percentage through week 13 of play. So it seems things unraveling a little bit with scheduling in the Big Ten Conference and some of the situations that could arise. But overall, if you told me we'd have 81, 82% of games played that should have been played to this point in the college football season based on what we thought and had concerns of over the summer, even for an outdoor sport, I think we would probably all take that. One recruiting note, Cincinnati Moeller in action last night. I think this was their first game of the year. I'm not 100% positive on that, but they played Princeton, who's had some great teams in that Cincinnati area. Cincinnati Molar, a winner by 9 points, 50-41, and Logan Duncombe started his senior campaign with 18 points and 15 rebounds. So we'll continue to track him, but to the only member right now of the 2021 recruiting class for Indiana, and he had a double-double to start his performance yesterday, his senior year yesterday. And quickly, the Big Ten College Football Playoff rankings, they were the second conference with the most teams in the College Football Playoff rankings that were updated last night among all the college basketball stuff going on. Ohio State, obviously, in the mix, I think a big favorite in many ways to get to the playoffs. They were number four. Indiana, the second highest ranked Big Ten team, which is pretty cool to see that flash up on the screen. The Hoosiers were number 12. Northwestern, who's having a great season. Of course, Peyton Ramsey, the quarterback there. Northwestern, number 14, not far behind Indiana. Wisconsin, who's had some COVID situations this year, they're in there at number 16, and Iowa at number 19 as well. So we'll see how things play out the rest of the way for IU football. And one other quick note, I know that we haven't talked a lot of football the last couple days because of all the IU activity with the Maui Invitational, but a lot of concern about Indiana football without Michael Penix. And so I've done some reading on Jack Tuttle. I know some others, again, most people wanting to know more about him. We talked a little bit about Tuttle with Greg Doyle yesterday, but he had scholarship offers coming out of high school from Alabama, from LSU, from USC, Wisconsin, and some other big programs as well. He was a very highly regarded high school player, and he's been in a quarterback battle. I don't really think it was much of one this offseason. First year, it seemed like in many offseasons that there wasn't a pretty contested quarterback battle in Bloomington, but he clearly has some talent. He came in the game, completed some short passes. What was he, 4 of 5 or 5 of 5 when Penix went out the other day? So, you know, there's hope Indiana can has a suitable replacement to continue this great football season. And it's not just Penix that's looked good for Indiana football. It's the defense. It's some other areas of the team. So I think there is hope that this team can go on and finish out the season. I don't know. Can they win out the rest of the way? I guess Wisconsin is the big challenge to do that possibly. But can they do that without Penix? Could they do that with Jack Tuttle? What would that do for the quarterback situation next year at Indiana? So we'll see. But Jack Tuttle, and we'll have more on him as we get ready for IU's game this weekend, the rest of the week. But IU clearly has a suitable backup, and we'll see how he does as he gets ready to go. Final note, CDC is going to shorten guidance for quarantining. The word is it's going to be 10 days of a quarantine now if you have an exposure to COVID-19, and that can be cut down to 7 with a negative test. So if you get a negative test, only 7. So that is interesting. I don't know if college conferences will adopt that. I don't know if it'll affect college sports or high school sports at all, but that theoretically could shorten the length of time that a player is out that at least is exposed but doesn't ultimately get the coronavirus. So I do think that's something to keep an eye on. We'll head to a break. We're back to talk some high school basketball recruiting, little IU with Nick Baumgart, and of course later in the show, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Nick Baumgart is my guest. Nick covers high school basketball and recruiting for BaumHoops.com, BaumHoops.com, and he joins us now to talk some high school hoops and some recruiting as well. But Nick, I know you also follow college basketball very closely as well. So we're going to talk more later in the show today about the Indiana performance or lack thereof yesterday and the upcoming game this afternoon against Stanford to round out play at the Maui Invitational for the Hoosiers. But quickly, your thoughts on Indiana yesterday. They just seem to be not clicking at all in many, many different facets of the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, throughout the course of a season, games like that happen. I think where Indiana is struggling right now is they just don't have anybody that can go out and get their own shot. They just don't have anybody that can go out and create their own offense. And, when things are struggling like they were yesterday, you need that. You need those kind of players to be able to get you through. And so, more than anything, you could critique the offense and this, but they just don't have anybody right now that can go out and make a play. And Trace Jackson Davis is, he's not a scorer, right? I mean, I don't know if you would agree with this, Matt, but to me, he works so well at doing all the other things that kind of puts points on the board, right? He, offensive rebounds, gets to the free throw line. If you're really playing on the perimeter, if you're guarding the perimeter really tough, he's going to be able to get chances where, he's not one of those guys that's going to be able to go out and just create his own shot, right? He's a post player. And so, really to me, I think that's where Indiana's struggling right now.
One other question. You follow high school basketball so closely in our state. I had some tweets and people since we've been on the air today, hey, you didn't mention anything about the freshman as I kind of did my thoughts on the IU game in the first segment. Anthony Leal, he hasn't seen a lot of ticks, very little actually so far. Does that surprise you at all to see Lander getting some opportunities, to see even Trey Galloway kind of logging maybe more minutes than any other freshman, but Leal pretty much sidelined so far for this Indiana team?
Well, I was really expecting to see Leal, yesterday when nobody could make a shot, when they struggled on Monday. I thought they might have went to him a little earlier. But, it's hard, especially when Al Durham went down. It's hard to get all those guys in right now. I mean, they got a huge rotation. And I think, you were going to see Christian Lander play right away because, you're not going to bring him to Bloomington to skip his senior year and then just to sit him on the bench. Yes, the reps every day in practice against Rob Finnessy are great, but you need that game experience to be able to get him ready for next year. So, I think he's playing like 33% of the minutes so far. That's a pretty big load, especially for a kid that's really should be in high school still. So, I don't think that surprises me as far as Lander playing. That was just something that was kind of in the cards when they brought him in early. And then Trey Galloway is just, he's just such an elite competitor. He told me stories about how him and his dad would be in the gym working out, at 9 o'clock at night. He's a guy that works out really late at night, likes to work out late. And dad would come in and offer some critiques and then they would get into it about stuff. And then dad would leave and come back 30 minutes later, he's just grown up in just a super competitive environment, and then he went to military school at Culver. And so he's got a lot of discipline that maybe your typical freshman wouldn't have coming in. So he just competes. And I didn't think he had a great game yesterday. I thought defensively he wasn't as good as he had been. But he does a lot of the little things that's going to get him on the court. I can't really speak enough to the Anthony Leal situation. It doesn't surprise me this year. There's just so many guys and you can only play so many minutes. And I thought that would be an issue coming in anyway, would be, is everybody going to get enough playing time and everybody going to be happy? In that regard, no, I'm looking at him more as, down the road kind of guy. I thought he would have been a really good candidate for a red shirt, but, it really doesn't matter this year since everybody's getting their year back. But, it'll be interesting to see how his minutes look moving forward.
Nick Baumgart, my guest, starting with IU, going to get into some high school and recruiting stuff. Nick's website, BaumHoops, BaumHoops.com. High school basketball so far, I know that your schedule has been different because you're the kind of guy, you will go to Indianapolis wherever you need to go to watch a game, and you've had to do more at home, more virtual watching film, watching tape, watching live streams this year because a lot of games are closed across the state to folks outside of immediate family and maybe a couple parents per student athlete. But as you look across the schedule so far, it sure seems like here in our very immediate area, it's been a real slow start. We've had some games postponed. We've had some games canceled. There's a couple teams on quarantine right now. Across the state, how are we doing getting this boys' basketball, high school basketball season beginning underway during a pandemic?
I think great. You know, really honestly, you know, just the effort, trying to give these kids part of their childhood. I mean, it's really what, I'm not trying to get too dramatic or anything, but this is, you know, it's their childhood. And doing everything possible to try to help these kids through this right now is I think, what our job is. I mean, our job is, if you really, you know, break it down in life, your job is to set the next generation up to be better than the generation that you were. And so I don't think that you know, taking high school sports away from kids is a good idea. So I'm really, really pleased with the effort that's been made. And we're going to have some hiccups, and there's going to be a lot of frustrations and a lot of, you know, I think I tracked the first weekend. I think we, up until last night, I haven't checked since last night, but we were about 32% of the games had been postponed at this point. So, you know, you're looking at a third of the games being postponed. Still got two-thirds of the games in, and I think, you know, there's been a few hiccups, and I think we can learn from those. There was one in Davies County in southern Indiana where the health department shut down the, you know, sports. Really didn't make a lot of sense from the standpoint that, you know, there was nobody in the schools. The schools were fine. Everything was fine. The community was you know, showing some issues, and the health department, you know, put a stop to the, you know, postpone things for a little bit. But I think they're back going this weekend. They met on Tuesday and decided to lift that ban. And so Washington, Barrieve, North Davies, Washington Catholic, those schools will be back in playing this weekend, I believe. And, you know, the one other issue that's in southern Indiana, and that's in Perry County with Tell City, you know, they had a big outbreak at the prison at Branchville, and it put the whole county into red. They're back into orange, but the schools went virtual, and they won't allow any sports while they're virtual. So the next school board meeting is going to be on December 14th. So those kids are stuck just kind of hanging out until December 14th. But really, for the most part, you know, I tip my hat to everyone involved in trying to get this season, you know, trying to get these kids as much of the season as they possibly can.
Yeah, and I hate the Tell City situation. It doesn't affect us too much locally, but Matt Lynch, a good friend, of course, cut his teeth playing and coaching at New Albany for many years, doing a good job there. Hope that they're
great
able,
coach.
Yeah, hope they're able to get back on the court soon. I want to talk some players with you here, Nick, as we come to the end of this segment in a few minutes. Draven Lawhorn Gibbs. I think we've talked with you about him before. He has kind of risen to the national scene in the player rankings as a young player in our state. And we knew he was going to miss most, if not all, this high school season playing for McCutcheon up in the Lafayette area. And we found out just a couple weeks ago or less that he's left the state or is leaving the state, and he's going to play prep school basketball out at a school, I'll be honest, in Salt Lake City, Utah. You normally hear of prep schools on the East Coast. You know about La Lemire in northern Indiana. This for really, it's not a prep school, but elite high school basketball. You know of Huntington Prep, and there are others situated across the country, but I don't really think of Salt Lake City as a place to go to play prep school basketball. Who knows where he goes to college, if Indiana, Purdue have a legitimate chance to get him or not when it's all said and done. But I just hate to see a talent, somebody that good with that much potential, leave our state because, you know, he could have had a tremendous 4 years of high school basketball here in the Hoosier State.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if he stays out there, right? Yeah, I was as shocked as anybody. I said, I think my tweet said, let me check my notes, Utah. So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. It's a really far away. That's a long way away. You know, it's a long distance. Will he stay out there? You know, and if he stays out there, I think it's not a good sign for Indiana and Purdue, because I think that that opens up a whole, you know, a lot of Pac-12 schools, and you know, he's going to have the national interest already. You know, what kind of prep school is it? You know, we don't know what kind of competition he's going to face. But as far as marketing ability, you know, if you're watching the NBA Finals, you know, Gatorade commercial comes up, and there's, you know, Dre Gibbs Lawhorn. And, you know, he was a guy that the Gatorade found, you know, long before they knew anything about his basketball star. He just had the look to him. So, you know, interesting situation there with him. And we lose him. We've lost about 9 really good players. Javon Small from Franklin Central, Michael Ealy from Fort Wayne, you know, the list goes on. You know, yeah, there's about 9 kids now that are out of IHSA basketball that would have been really good to watch. Going to be fun to see what happens moving forward with him. And I think one of the first things to look for is this next AAU season. Will he come back and play for Indiana Elite? You know, Indiana Elite thinks they're going to get him back. We'll see, because now you're opening yourself up to, out of Texas Drive, AAU is there, you know, and everybody in California, everything on the West Coast is in play now. So that's kind of the next thing to look for is one, does he stay out there for his junior year? And does he come back and play AAU in for Indiana Elite this summer?
Yeah, interesting. Getting close to commercial break, but I've got to ask you this as we get out. Silver Creek is off to a fantastic start. They were winners of big and Game 2 this year over Charlestown, and no surprise there. But they're doing it without Trey Kaufman. He's got a slight ankle problem is what I understand. Nothing major, but playing it safe, and he's getting some rest here in these early games. But just with what the Dragons have been able to do without him, Cooper Jacoby with 44 points. I think he had maybe 30-something last night in Game 2. Brandon Northern handling the basketball, but it seems without Kaufman in there, getting much more scoring opportunities, and really has been good this year for Silver Creek. And there are other players. Isaac Hinton had a double-double a few nights ago, which I think tells you the ability for this team across the board to be consistent. I have to ask myself this, as we start to see scores, and I've watched some games and been to some games, when Trey Kaufman is back and this team is healthy and they get into midseason form and hopefully get to play the majority of their scheduled games this year, I'm not so sure as I look across the state I don't put Silver Creek number one overall.
Overall number one. Huh? Well, you know, I don't think there's anybody in 3A, certainly down south, that's going to touch them. You know, and I think, you know, not having Trey Kaufman – can kind of be a blessing here to start the season, as long as he's not out too long. Like you said, Isaac Hinton has had a chance to kind of step out and look, let's face it. I mean, Cooper Jacoby and Brandon Northern they're two. I mean, I think anybody, any coach in around would take those two, you know, to build off of. And so, you know, they kind of get, they kind of come in a little bit under the radar with just with Trey's shadow as far as, you know, all the hype that he gets. But, I mean, I don't think anybody ever doubted Cooper Jacoby's talent. And I think Brandon Northern, you know, he's got all the pedigree in the world. And as a sophomore, was great last year. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good twosome. I don't think anybody in southern Indiana is going to, you know, in the southern part of the state is going to touch him. The only, you know, 3A is kind of down, and that also helps him. But I think Hammond out of the north will be a challenge. They got a couple kids in from Chicago, a couple transfers in from Chicago. You know, they got Dale Reed, who's headed to Alabama State, big guy. You know, he might be able to match up with, I'm trying to think of matchups, you know, and so matching up with Silver Creek's really tough. I mean, you got Cooper Jacoby at 6'6", and then you got Trey at 6'8", 6'9". So, yeah, I mean, I'll take your, you know, I respect your opinion. We'll have to see, you know, how good they shake out. I would say they're in my top five, but you know, Lawrence North is really, really good. Cathedral's really good. They're six or seven deep. It would be fun to see these teams play each other, though.
Absolutely. Nick Baumgart, check him out, bombhoops.com. I've got a lot of other subjects for you, and we'll get you back on very soon. But appreciate your time, appreciate your work, and enjoy the start of this season, and keep following everything. We appreciate what you do.
Hey, I appreciate you, old friend. Take care.
Absolutely. All right, Nick Baumgart of bombhoops.com. We'll head to a break. We're back to talk more IU basketball as we continue to talk about some of the negatives yesterday, just a lot of them for this Indiana team, and we'll get you ready for the upcoming game today with Stanford, IU's final game at the three-day Maui Invitational in Asheville. Jeff Rabjohns will join the program coming up after the break. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, with us to close out this Wednesday show. Don't forget, coming up around 12:30, we've got pregame coverage with Don Fisher for the IU-Stanford game. And, of course, at 1:30, the tip-off, if you're listening live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Jeff, the Maui event so far, two games, 2 days, has been a story of two different Indiana performances and really two different Indiana teams. We saw a pretty strong performance against Providence, I thought, across the board. Of course, Race Thompson was the big standout there, which was very welcomed by Indiana fans and I'm sure the coaches as well. Yesterday, not so much any standouts. It was a bad, bad deal and a bad shooting performance all the way around for this Indiana team.
Yeah, it really was. And I think it showed that early on, Indiana's capable of playing, you know, kind of a physical, grinded-out game, you know, one that's less about skill and more about toughness. And that's really what the Providence game was. Providence doesn't have nearly the backcourt skill that Texas does. Providence wants to play almost like an old-school Big Ten team and make it about physicality and contact and rebounding and grind it out. And Indiana, with especially when Race Thompson plays like he did, you know, Indiana can play that kind of game and play it well. But you know, you throw this Indiana team up against a team like Texas with the talent it has in the backcourt, and there's a big disparity there. I mean, you actually look at it. Both teams started three guards. The three guards for Texas, their recruiting rankings coming out of high school: Andrew Jones, number 29, Courtney Ramey, number 43, Matt Coleman, number 51. So three guys basically top 50. Indiana's starting backcourt: Rob Finnessy, number 135. Armon Franklin, number 151. Al Durham, number 230. Matt, that is an enormous disparity in talent. And you know this as well as anybody. There are a lot of times when the Jimmies and the Joes determine the outcome more than the X's and the O's. And yesterday was one of those. The starting backcourt for Texas outscored the starting backcourt for Indiana 41-17. So, I mean, it doesn't take a PhD in math to figure out that's a 24-point differential in a 22-point game. So Indiana right now is at the point, you know, they've got issues when they run up against more talented backcourts, especially backcourts that can play fast, that have quickness, and have length. And Texas has all that. You know, a lot of people were talking about the having a McDonald's All-American on the front line. Well, yes, so does Indiana, and Indiana's McDonald's All-American outscored their McDonald's All-American by more than 10 points. So that wasn't the game. The backcourt situation, the scoring, the talent, the production, 41 points to 17 points, that was the game yesterday. So with where Indiana is right now, they're going to have to continue to build on what they can do offensively. And I think this is going to be something we're going to notice with all the teams, pretty much all the teams. Some of the teams that have a lot of starters coming back, maybe it's a little different. But I think with most teams, because the offseason was so discombobulated, so many starts and stops, and let's be real frank here, there's a whole lot of teams who had guys test positive for COVID who had to sit for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Some I know sat 4, 5, 6 weeks during, quote, the offseason, who didn't get to practice. And it never became public because it was just practice and they didn't have to miss any games. And some of these teams' thinking was, well, why announce it if nobody has to, if we don't have to announce it? So you had a lot of teams who had guys test positive who did had to sit out for stretches, and it was a whole lot of stop, start, stop, start. We got 8 guys today. Oh, this week we only got 4. So I say that long, boring story to make this point. Some teams in Indiana's in this boat, only part of what they want to do is installed. You know, when you watch Indiana play, part of what they want to do is install offensively. So they're going to continue to build on it as the season goes. The question is not only what do you install, but you know this, you coach. It's not what you as a coach want to run. It's what your players are capable of running. So it's going to be interesting to see as we move here toward Christmas and then definitely even into January. What other things does Indiana install, and how well can this group run them?
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Nice breakdown there, Jeff. Glad to have you to talk about the loss yesterday and also to get ready for Stanford coming up in just a bit. I've covered different things throughout the show, so I want to bring up a question to you that I really haven't discussed much, but there was zero off the bench in addition to all the other problems that we've spoke about so far today about Indiana yesterday. The bench, there was no spark. There was no one that came in really and provided Indiana any lift whatsoever, and that's just another, I think, adding list to the concerns.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, you look at the guys who you'd expect to, you know, to do something. And, you know, Jerome Hunter, you know, gets you 4 points, okay. You know, but there was really no impact, okay. You know, Trey Galloway gets you 2 points, but, you know, he hit 2 free throws, and that was really, let's be honest, there was no impact there. Nobody did anything significant. But that is an issue. And I think they have to get something from some combination of Lander, Hunter, and Galloway. Those are the three guys, you know, I think who are in best position right now to make contributions. And then, obviously, Joey Brunk, whenever the doctors feel his back is up to speed. You know, that they're playing one down as far as the front line goes. And certainly, you know, a 6'10" Joey Brunk would have helped out on the boards yesterday. Indiana got out-rebounded 48-29 to Texas. You know, a 6'10" center certainly would help in that area, especially when, you know, there were times Race Thompson had to go to the bench because, you know, let's be honest, the guy can't play 40 minutes on the front line. So Brunk certainly helps that. He gives you one more. But, yeah, Indiana is going to need something. With the way the schedule is this year, you know, you can't ride 5 or 6 guys, I don't think. I just don't think it's possible. I think they're going to have to need to get something. You know, Hunter, I think, is the guy you look at, certainly, because of his ability. You know, that's a national top 60 guy coming out of high school. You know, by his redshirt sophomore year, he needs to be giving you more than 4 points a game. He needs to be shooting better than 1 for 4. He needs to give you more than one rebound. And, you know, you look at Trey Galloway, he's only a freshman, but you say, okay, who else is maybe capable? I think Galloway's capable. And I think, you know, now as a freshman, you're going to have some good games, you're going to have some bad games. I understand that. You know, everybody does that. Almost every freshman has that. But he's capable. But, yeah, they got to find a way to get some other guys going because, again, you just can't ride 5 or 6 guys. And the other thing they have to do is, I mean, the shooting is just, I mean, you know, it's getting to be where it's a broken record, you know, game after game, week after week, you know, month after month. But, you know, I don't care what your style is, 2 for 10 from 3 isn't going to do it. In today's college basketball, with as many teams have guys who can shoot the 3, you've got to find ways to make 3s. And I honestly don't think taking 10 is enough in today's basketball, unless you had a ridiculously powerhouse front line and you were just destroying people up front. But I honestly don't think taking 10 is enough.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Let's turn our attention to Stanford the rest of the way here.
Sure.
Your thoughts on this matchup. I think that they are a good team, and it was a very good game between Stanford and North Carolina. But you highlighted very well at the start of this segment the athleticism, just the raw talent going back to the high school days and the rankings of some of those players and the disparity that existed in talent yesterday. I don't think that same talent gap exists today, but this is a solid Stanford team, I do believe.
Yeah, it really is. And no, it's not the same talent gap as IU faced against Texas, but they've got some very talented players. I think Dejon Davis, the senior guard, is the guy you look at the most. He's primarily a slasher, but he's very good at being a slasher. He's somebody you certainly have to worry about. Their center, Oscar Da Silva, has been very good inside. He's a really good diver, meaning set the screen, dive to the rim. He's really good at it. I think he's also, he shot it a little better than I think maybe people expected as far as stuff outside of 5 feet. So he's certainly a problem. And then their freshman, Zaire Williams, has been terrific. He's probably the biggest matchup problem as far as physicality and skill combination. He's 6'8". He's athletic. He can run. He's got some bounce. So Indiana doesn't really have a 6'8" athlete that you look at and say, okay, this matches up really well with him. So that's going to be a test for Indiana's defense. The one thing that's interesting about Zaire is, he really likes threes and pull ups more than he likes going to the rim. So I think you have to play him as a guy. You can't dare him to shoot. You have to assume he's going to want to shoot. And you really need to do a good job with closing out on him, with staying with him. And you have to play him as if somebody who's hunting shots. And even when he takes one or two dribbles, you look at his synergy numbers and everything, he's pulling up more than he's going to the rim. So when he puts the ball down, you can't start backpedaling. You can't really turn your hips and try to play him as a driver. You got to find a way to pressure his shot. So that's a problem. I mean, he's going to be a problem for, dang, Matt. He's going to be a problem for pretty much anybody in college basketball. I think he's really talented. They got another experienced guy, Bryce Willis, there in the backcourt. So he does have some good experience. And I think Bryce Willis is probably their best perimeter defender. So we'll see exactly who Kostiard Haas decides to put on Fennessy, who he puts on Al Durham. But Willis, I think, in my view, is their best defender on the perimeter. So it's going to be a tough test. But, yeah, Zaire Williams, keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on Dejon Davis. Those are probably the two main guys.
Quick turnaround, no question about that. 3 games, 3 days, all against major conference opponents. We'll see what happens today with Indiana. Before we close, I do want to get your thoughts on college hoops and specifically the Big Ten so far. I mean, it's fun to flip around to some of these early games, and of course Indiana's played major conference opponents. That's not been the case based on scheduling for different Big Ten teams, but I think we're starting to get a feel for things, and we know this conference is very talented individual player wise. We know that there are going to be some really good teams, and it's expected to be a deep conference this year. But early thoughts on the Big Ten Conference, there really been some close games. I know Illinois had a close game. Michigan went to overtime against Oakland. There have been some close games against, mid-major type opponents so far, which is a little surprising.
Yeah, that was a little surprising. I think the league's really strong. You got four teams ranked in the top eight right now with Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan State. Michigan State, I thought played really, really well in beating Duke last night. Illinois had some impressive performances. Then, they really got pushed by a mid-major team. Iowa, I think, is the team that has so much offensive firepower that it's going to be tough. You're going to have to outscore Iowa. And I think, I don't know how many teams have the ability to do that, but they're going to be really good. But I think the league is really strong. It's got four teams probably as good as, or better than, I would say better than, any top four teams in any league in the country. I think right now Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan State are playing better than any other, grab any four teams from any other league. And I think the Big Ten's top four are up there. Rutgers actually is, they're 3-0. They're solid. So I think it's a deep league. But right now we're seeing the teams at the top play really well. And it's going to be a tough league. If you finish in the top four of the Big Ten this year, especially when you throw in all the, you know, uncertainty and everything. That's a heck of an accomplishment, man. It really is.
Yeah, no question. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Jeff, just glad we've got basketball back on TV, and hope that things roll along okay for high school and college hoops this year. Always appreciate catching up with you, and now that the season's here, we'll do this more often.
Sounds good, man, and I'm with you. It's December. Holidays and hoops, baby. You know, it's a good time of year.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care, my friend.
Absolutely. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Coming up, if you're live with us here on the Big X, we've got the pregame show. Pregame coverage from the IU Network begins in just under 30 minutes, so stay with us for that. And, of course, tip-off coming up at 1:30 this afternoon, Indiana and Stanford at the Maui Invitational in Asheville, North Carolina. Lots of college hoops. It continues this week. Watched a couple good games. Michigan State going on the road last night, getting a big win at Duke. They led by double figures for a lot of the second half in that game. And, of course, the Kentucky-Kansas game came down to the wire, and Kansas getting the victory there last night. Have a great Wednesday. Don't forget to check out IU and Stanford. We're back on Thursday to recap all of it and also include some IU football as they get ready for another big game without Michael Penix, their first game without Penix coming up this weekend. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.